Two Cents. I am Rosh.
And I'm Nam.
And it has been a while.
And we apologize for that again.
And do we apologize? We don't even have an excuse. Stuff has sort of gone back into the routine.
I think the excuse is that all of a sudden things went back into routine and we got really busy again.
Yeah.
You know, like going here, going there. Like we can actually go places now.
Yeah.
Victoria, for once, is one of the only states in Australia that's not in lockdown.
Yeah, that is open after being
Which
in lockdown.
Is very strange for us.
It's weird. But anyway, we're not here to talk about lockdowns. We were a bit busy, and then we saw today as an opening, and we were like, yep, let's just do it.
Yep. So, we've got a few things that we're going to catch up on. We're going to talk about episode 3 and 4 of Loki. We're going to review Batman, The Long Halloween, which we've been very excited about.
Oh my gosh, so good.
But before we do any of that, we've got some pop culture news.
I mean, the top story really is, and I'm sure everybody's already heard, is Tom Holland and Zendaya.
Yes! Oh my god!
I mean, come on!
Can I just say,
I wasn't going to mention this, because I was like, no one's going to care, but everybody is going to care.
I think a lot of people
are
going to care.
Exactly.
All I'm saying is, I think in this jaded world, we need news like this.
We need news about people who we've always wanted.
Oh my goodness. Now, the only thing that would make my heart happy is to find out that Chris Evans has a lovely girlfriend.
Yeah, I know.
Like, I would really like to know who he's dating. I mean, in Scott Evans' words, it doesn't matter what he wants. It matters what Scott wants.
Yeah, he's like, it matters what I want. It doesn't matter what Chris wants. That is what I want. Because he's boring.
He's like, let's face it, she's going to have more fun with me.
I love that.
Actually, that's a fact. He always seems very boring. But Zendaya.
And Tom Holland.
Like, oh my goodness.
Because, like, the chemistry in the Spider-Man movies is so good.
I just think it's the sweetest thing ever.
And they're so cute.
They're very cute.
They're so cute.
And look, I know I'm being a little bit of a doomsday here, but let's face it, it's Hollywood. Mm. I just hope, even if this doesn't become an epic Hollywood romance, I just hope that whenever, or if ever, it does end, they will always be friends.
Yeah.
Because, they're just great.
Yeah.
They're great together. I love them.
My God, it was so exciting.
It was so exciting.
It's like, Tom Holland and Zendaya spotted kissing. And I was like, oh my gosh!
How sad is our life?
I'm sorry, but it's not just us, okay? It's the world over. Screaming. Literally, my friend in the US, she messaged me and she's like, oh my gosh, don't hold it today. And I was like, what?
I think it is the best. Absolutely best. Anyway.
So good.
So that was one piece of exciting relationship news. But we've got another piece of news.
We have another piece of news.
Well, we don't have.
I'm sure people have heard, but it's still very exciting because it's happened over the few weeks that we haven't been talking to you guys. So Jensen, those who don't know Jensen Ackles from Supernatural, and his wife Danielle have a production company, Chaos Machine.
Yep.
And they have, now been given the rights to Supernatural, and in development right now, as we speak, is a prequel to the show by the name of The Winchesters.
Oh, man.
Which will be focusing on John and Mary Winchester in the 1970s.
I think...
Oh, my gosh!
This is going to be amazing.
Oh, my gosh.
I think
before we get into that, let's just break down the rest of the stuff. So the script will probably be written by Robbie Thompson himself. For those who don't know, Robbie Thompson was on Supernatural from season 7 to season 11 as a writer and then co-executive producer for a while. And then he left to do other projects for Marvel and stuff. But he'll be back for this as also, again, co-executive producer.
Yeah.
which is so exciting.
Oh, it's going to be so good.
Because anybody who knows the show knows Robert Thompson, that he's written some of the best episodes, like Baby, Don't Call Me Shirley, like all the really, really good ones, the 200th episode. So it's very exciting to have him back in the fold.
There's no casting news yet.
So it's really just in development.
They're
just fleshing out the story, which is great.
My biggest thing is, like, I remember when I was reading the article, in my head I'm thinking, because if you are a huge Supernatural fans and you've watched the show, the start of the show is where, you know, Mary gets killed John basically becomes a hunter. I know we've had flashbacks of them and, you know, Mary's the one who's from the hunting family. John isn't.
Yeah.
We later on subsequently find out that his father was one of the men of letters.
Yeah.
My biggest thing is, like, if they're going to be following the Winchesters, what is the... I know the hunting side's going to come from Mary.
Yeah.
I really would like to see what John's involvement would be. I think
John's involvement will just be that he meets Mary, and it'll be as we know it.
Yeah.
But because Mary always said that, you know, I'd heard of the Men of Letters, I didn't know that they were real. So they could still possibly have Men of Letters storylines and attach them to John. Maybe they've come in close quarters with John, and he's just never realized.
Doesn't know. Yeah.
And
I think they're gonna have a lot of challenges set in front of them to make sure that they can't retcon anything.
Yeah.
That has happened.
And that's what Jensen was saying. He's like, working out canon has been interesting.
Yeah, that's going to be really interesting.
But what I love is that, so again, as Robbie Thompson is, he's created some really amazing female characters, Charlie and Eileen, of course.
Oh my gosh. I know both of my favorites.
Both of our favorites, like Charlie and Eileen, oh my gosh.
Absolutely.
Now give him a young Hunter Mary. I can't wait to see what he's going to do.
I think,
like,
it's going
to
be amazing.
Oh my gosh.
I really wonder who the cast is going to be. Yeah. I honestly feel I don't think it's going to be Matt Cohen.
You really don't think so? I feel like
it depends on the ages.
I feel like it might be Matt. It has to be Matt.
It depends on the ages, because it depends on how far back. I know this is 70s, but how far back is it? Like late 70s, early 70s, and we want to see. Because look, since those episodes, those people have aged.
True, but
a certain amount.
Matt is forever young.
I know. Maybe he might still be okay, but I don't. Well, I can't remember.
Amy Dominic.
Yeah, I don't know if she would be. Because she's not technically that young anymore.
Yeah.
So unless she still looks young.
She looks
young,
great. They both look young. Yeah.
Both of them look young, then perhaps. But I would really like it if it is the original cast.
Even if it's not Amy, it has to be Matt Cohen, because who else is young John Winchester? Come on.
I can't see anyone else.
It's going to be really hard for people to deal with that, I think. But anyway, I trust in one Jensen Ackles and another Danielle Ackles.
Look, we can't say anything without sort of acknowledging that there has been, as one Twitter user said, Chaos Machine has generated a lot of chaos.
Some chaos.
But I think...
If you know, you know.
Yeah, you know, you know. We're not going to talk about it. But I think all of that just, you know, that doesn't take away from, you know, if you're really fans of the show,
if you love the show and you love the mythology of the show, if you love the mythology of the Winchesters,
absolutely, I think this is a very exciting opportunity
to
see what else can come out of this.
Yeah,
I really would like to see, you know, Mary's background with her family and, you know, all of that. I think that'll be really cool.
And the fact that Jensen was like, you know, this is the first story we wanted to tell.
Mm.
And I was like, that could so possibly open up even more Supernatural stories. Oh, like, Supernatural is not going to leave our lives.
Do you possibly think there's a place for wayward daughters now?
I mean, I don't want to jinx anything.
It might not be exactly the same, like, as what they were picturing before.
I don't want to get hopes up, but I don't want to, like, predict or do anything of that, of it being, like, more than one story and, you know.
Oh, yeah, whatever. Of course.
But knowing how much he was very excited about it, because he was really like, oh my gosh, this has to happen. Yeah. And he was also very devastated when it didn't. It could... It's possible.
It may not look anything like, is possible. It may not look. I mean, if they ever do it, I don't think it'll look the same. Because yeah. think of oh my gosh, I'm totally blanking names today. What? Well, she's in Quantumania now.
Oh yeah, Cat Newton. Yeah.
I doubt she's gonna be. You know.
Yeah.
In something. I mean, she might. But,
I don't know. But yeah. Yes, so that is very exciting for us.
Extremely exciting. I don't know when that's
going to come out. I literally, when the news came out, I cried because I was like, oh my god, it's not gone.
It's not gone. It's not it's gone. It's still very it much alive. It will
never be gone.
I don't think shows like this can ever go away. No, so.
They can't ever really go away. Yeah. Yeah.
If they, like, build this absolutely amazing extended universe, I think that would be so cool. And I think Warner Brothers is not dumb enough to understand that this is going to be lucrative for them.
Yeah.
And of course, like, if it's not going to work out, it's not going to work out.
Yeah.
You know, like, well, at least like they tried. Any project, but at least they tried, you know. And there's, I think there's so many stories that are there. Like, I really liked, I remember there was that episode that they tried to kind of do a spin-off, remember, with the monsters?
Oh, Bloodlines.
Bloodlines,
that
right?
was the first spin-off.
That was the first spin-off idea.
Yeah.
I mean, that didn't come off as, like, genuine. But I think something like that would be interesting to see the villain perspectives.
Maybe.
Of Supernatural, you know?
I'd love to see, like a hell.
Yeah, I think that'd be really cool, you know?
Kind of interesting how hell actually operates.
Yeah. It would be very interesting to just do things like
it would
that.
Be, yeah, it would be interesting.
But anyway, so that's exciting news.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. So exciting.
Anything else? Any other exciting news? Well, actually, this Friday,
we are going to see, after very, very long...
Finally,
we are going to see Black Widow. Oh my gosh.
I am so excited.
I'm, like, nervous and excited.
I am very nervous.
I'm so nervous.
I have never been nervous about a Marvel movie.
Yeah, like this. I don't think I've...
Even Captain Marvel didn't make me this nervous.
Yeah.
I am nervous about Black Widow.
Yeah.
I am so nervous about Black Widow.
It's just because we've been, like, we probably said this on a podcast a few podcasts ago, where, you know, it's been so long that we've been waiting that we kind of forget about it.
Yeah.
And then we're like, oh, wait, hold on, this is still supposed to come out. And now that it's here, it's like...
There was this really funny meme someone had made, like, well, it was a GIF.
Yeah.
Or, like, a video thing. And it's the scene from Winter Soldier, the opening scene, where Sam's running and Steve goes, on your left.
For the first time.
It's, I think it was WandaVision.
Yeah.
And Sam is Black Widow, and he's like, oh. And then, like, the second one, it was, I think Falcon it was Falcon Winter. Winter Soldier. She's like, oh, come on. And then the third time is Loki. It's like, oh, come on! Black Widow keeps getting pushed.
That's kind of funny.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, it was so funny. Lord,
that's funny. But yeah, I'm excited, but I'm nervous. But I hope that those nerves will go away.
I think the good thing is that we're going as a big group again, so we can be emotional support for each other, no matter what happens.
And we're going for dinner after, so if it's shit, we get to trash it.
There'll be debriefing happening.
Like, there's going to be major debriefing.
There'll be major
Honestly,
debriefing
Honestly, I think I'm more
happening.
Excited about that than about the movie.
Let's see what happens. We're going to come up with some insights for our next episode, because we're going to get people's opinions and we'll be there when, you know, other people are talking about it, so I think it'll be really interesting.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
Yeah, so yeah, watch out for that episode that's coming next. We're gonna first talk about Batman
The Long Halloween Part 1.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. So good!
It was excellent. Do we want to do a good, bad, and ugly?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, well, let's do good, bad, and ugly and maybe do it in reverse.
Yeah.
Okay. Ugly, I didn't have anything.
I have nothing in the ugly.
I didn't have anything in the ugly. Even the bad, I don't know. Did you have anything?
No, because I just loved it so much.
Yeah, I liked everything about
it. Yeah, so maybe we shouldn't do it back.
Let's not do good, bad,
maybe
ugly.
As Let's we're talking go, about it, if something comes up, we can be like,
Okay, quick rundown for those who haven't read it or anything. It's basically Batman. I think it's supposed to be like early on in his career.
It's technically year two.
Yeah.
So if you've read Batman year one, this is directly after it.
Yeah.
So yeah.
And it's basically him learning how to be an investigator. He's good at sort of bashing up the bad guys. But he's I think so far he's only been dealing with, like, the one-off criminal, you know?
Dealing with the one-offs, put them all in Arkham.
Yeah.
And he really thinks that his job is done.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what year one is he discovering that he can, you know, do all of this.
He's never been an investigator before, so he's sort of learning that skill.
Yeah, he's learning that skill from Gordon and from Dent.
Dent, yeah.
So basically, it's the fact that on each holiday of the year, there is a murder, and they start grouping this person as the holiday killer.
Mm.
And, you know, they keep getting close, and they keep missing him. With each holiday that comes around, they just keep missing who this person is. Mm. And as all this is happening, it's very much, there's a lot of, you know, character stuff happening too, with, like, Dent, like, people starting to doubt him and what his motives are.
Motives are, yes.
You know, Jim Gordon and his family and, like, his struggles that, you know, the kids are growing up and he doesn't, you know.
He's not there.
He's not there.
Yeah.
And, and of course we have Bruce.
Oh, yes.
And Selena.
Oh,
Selena Kyle, voiced by the lovely Naya Rivera, who
she did an amazing job.
With us anymore.
Yeah.
But she did so good, but we'll talk about all the voices in a minute. But yeah, Bruce and Selena's, romance.
Relationship.
Not really romance. This back and forth between them that I love. Mm. And, yeah, so that's them. And then, you know, there's, the...
The little characters
around them. And then, like, the Falcones and the,
Maronis.
Yeah. And, you know, all the other little people, like, Johnny Vitti and, Joker and all that.
I think the first thing that we have to acknowledge is the absolutely fantastic animation.
Oh my gosh, yes.
It is so... So amazing. Good. It is, like, I mean,
it was like film noir but in animation.
Oh, it was beautiful. And the thing is, it is very unique to Batman. It's almost like that very art deco-y architecture, you know, like, and it's, I really love the ambiguous time period, you know. We don't know when it's set. We don't know whether it's modern or whether it's, you know, it's the 50s or the 60s or the 40s or...
Yeah.
It's just got that really cool vibe. And very similar to what this one was, Gotham.
Yeah.
Was. Like, we couldn't really tell what time period it's set in. I really love that. I think it's just visually, it is just so amazing. Like, when that time finished, I didn't even know. Like, the movie ended, and I was like, oh, crap, it's finished.
It's done.
I was like, that's it.
What? I was like, I want more of this.
Yeah, and it's part one and part two, so obviously we don't know who the killer is in part
one.
Well,
if you've read it, you know.
Yes.
But,
But if you're just watching it, you don't know who it is.
You don't know what's going on,
And it's just like, I need more. Like, I need more now. So, yeah,
the original art is by Tim Sale. And it was written by Jeff Loeb.
Yeah.
Who, of course, they're both... I mean, if you know DC, you know that they're
so amazing. Good. Well, quickly, talk about the cast.
Yeah. Written by Tim Sheridan.
Yes.
Who has done... The Death of Superman.
Mm-hmm.
He did
which was again Master of the Universe. Amazing...
Yeah, so he's done a bunch of DC stuff as well. And then we've got Chris Palmer directing it.
Basically, I wanted to make a mention of the casting because we've got some big names. We've got, of course, Jensen Ackles as Batman.
Yeah.
We've got Josh Duhamel as Harvey Dent.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Billy Burke as James Gordon.
Oh my god, it was such a great choice.
So amazing. We've got Jack Quaid as Alberto Falcone. Yeah. And, of course, Carmine Falcone is played by Titus Welliver. He's a really, really, if you know him, if you've seen him, you'll definitely recognize him from so many projects. He was on Supernatural as well.
Yeah.
He's a brilliant character actor.
Mm-hmm.
It was, like, really, really good. You've got, Troy Baker as Joker.
Yeah, he was great. And he's done really it a good few times, well. So he's done it, like,
yeah.
The and Killing
of course, Joke and, yeah. And, of course, you've got Naya Rivera as Catwoman.
Yeah.
So that really tells you of the timeline of production because, you know, obviously yeah. she voiced, so this has been going on for a while.
Yeah, we know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been around for, like, last 3-4 years yeah. that this has been happening. So, yeah. Yeah.
So, it was just really, like, just looking, like... I just thought back, like, as we were watching it, like, we focus so much on the live-action stuff these days, you know? Like, yeah. Marvel's churning out amazing content, and it's beautiful stuff.
Yeah.
Like, the visuals and everything, and, you know, DC, for all of its awfulness, I mean, they're still churning out a lot of, you know, live-action stuff, and they've had yeah. some good ones here and there, like, you know, Wonder Woman and stuff, but primarily... People have forgotten about animation. Like, no, I wouldn't say forgotten, but the emphasis on animation has definitely gone down.
Yeah.
And I just think, like, Batman has brought... Like, this, for me, has brought back that thing that this is why I love it.
Yeah.
And it reminded me of the when we watched... No, when we watched... well, yes, of course. But it reminded me of how I love animation, animated series... And it reminded me of this feeling of when I was watching Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
Which was the Miles Morales story, came out a few years ago.
Yeah.
And that was so stunning.
That was amazing.
And I'm like, why have we stopped watching animated movies? Like, you know, not the Disney movies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not the Disney ones, because those are great.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about, like, comic book animated movies.
In relation to comic books, why do we not... We get a lot of that. We do get a lot of animation.
Yeah, we do. But we don't watch them
But it's
much.
Not mainstream.
Yeah.
And I think the only reason we even know that Long Halloween is coming out, one, because of Jensen, because we follow everything that he's doing closely.
Yeah.
But then also because it is such a well-known story.
It is such a classic, yeah.
The fact that so many of the other iterations of Batman have taken from The Long Halloween, yeah. in particular the Dark Knight trilogy.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of influence from this. And then I guess it's also because it's just been in development for so long. Like, everybody has known that The Long Halloween...
Yeah.
We didn't know that it was going to come out anytime soon. We didn't know that it's already been recorded.
I think
recorded.
They announced it at the end of last year, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. We didn't know that it's already been recorded, but we did know that there were whispers that something's happening with The Long Halloween. And this is what they were talking about in a panel recently with Entertainment Weekly. And they were like, well, you know, this has been going on for a while, but we didn't do anything because, and we weren't allowed to, because there was almost a Long Halloween movie with Ben Affleck and Matt Reeves.
Yeah.
But then Ben didn't want to do it anymore. Yeah. And then that's when Rob Pattinson came on.
Can I just say I'm so happy that that didn't work out, because I think
this was so
this
good.
Story in this format is way better
so much
than
better.
What we would
so
have gotten better. With
yeah,
yeah. a live action.
Yeah.
Because honestly, like, what they focus... And this is... Okay. So... In the live-action movies, they're so heavy on the fight scenes, and they're so heavy on the action sequences, and they have to be big, and they have to have explosions and this and that, which is all very exciting. But they forget to focus on the story sometimes. I think Marvel does it well. They do a good balance of it. But DC sometimes forgets. Like, they did that with Man of Steel, which is such an amazing story.
The last half an hour of... If you watch any DC film, the last half an hour always becomes this massive battle, and you have no idea what's happening.
What's going on,
exactly. And buildings are getting wrecked, and people are dying for
absolutely
no reason. And
then everyone forgets about the stupid story.
And everybody's like, what's even happening right now? Like, it makes no sense.
They do lazy storytelling. Whereas, if you watch this, there's not that many action sequences, actually.
No, yeah.
Like, there's that one really cool one
in
Chinatown.
Yeah.
And that's really it. That's just the one big one.
Yeah.
In a movie that's like an hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Right? So, why can we not do that in a live action? Like, and focus more on story. And I think that's why, like, something like... I feel like Christopher Nolan did that well with his Batman. He focused on the story, but he also had the exciting elements of the you know, the car chases and this and that and all that. I will always maintain, I think Dark Knight Rises, which is the second one.
The Dark Knight was
the Dark Knight was the second one. that one...
That is a great movie. Always
is,
will be.
...is the best out of yeah. all three.
Yeah.
And part of it is because of, you know, the that absolute great storytelling
yeah.
of the villain versus, you know, the good, the bad, and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
There is a lot of exciting stuff happening there, but they do it well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why they can't do it in, like, some of the newer...
I mean, I don't know.
...stuff like that. I mean, biggest example is Man of Steel.
Yeah.
Like,
BVS.
Or BVS. I mean, oh BVS is crap all around, but...
BVS is just bad in general.
Man of Steel, like, oh my goodness. It's an amazing story. It's essentially Superman's origin story. Yeah. And they messed it up.
Yeah.
But then look at Wonder Woman... The first one, and they did such a brilliant job yeah. of that, you know. So, what are you doing, DC? You know, so I think a lot of times having a format of animated mm-hmm. does work for certain storylines, and yep. I think this would not have translated well to a
yeah
to a thing. It could have translated well to maybe a live action series,
maybe yeah,
but not to a movie.
But not a movie, and yeah. I'm glad that it stayed this way.
Yeah.
But yeah, everybody was just amazing, or, like, across the board. Like, I love the, I feel like I always say this, and, like, people are like, oh, you're just saying it because you like him so much. But Jensen is literally the most perfect Batman I could have ever asked for, because he knew the balance between...
The voice, yeah.
The voices. Like, it wasn't that, you know, one was a total other extreme. Yeah. Like, I'm Batman.
Like, I know, it's like, you, can't like even, you can't even make out what he's saying.
What did you just say? It was just, like, one notch deeper. Mm, and yeah. then, you know, Bruce being, like, you know, the melodic and, yeah. and more gentle voice.
Yeah.
He just got it so right. And, like... Mm. You know, he was talking about in that panel, he's like, they had to get the Texas out of me. Oh, yeah. He's like, I had to be, like, very neutral. But, yeah, he just did a really good job, and he just knows the difference between those, because it may be the same body, but it's yeah. totally different characters.
It's different characters, yeah.
But, yeah, he did a great job. I think Josh Duhamel as Harvey Dent was
excellent. Oh, my goodness.
Excellent.
Yes, I loved that.
Oh, my God. Again, didn't have to, like, put on a voice like, no. Rachel! Like,
not at all. No. I mean, I do love Aaron Eckhart.
Can you imagine him just going, Gilda!
I know, right? I do love Aaron Eckhart as Harvey Dent, but that Rachel was a bit much.
Rachel!
Yeah, oh, Josh Duhamel as Harvey Dent was amazing. Can we just talk about how good-looking the animated Harvey Dent was?
I know! What?!
Oh man, he was hot.
Harvey Dent and Bruce. Bruce was like,
yeah, Bruce was cute as well. But Harvey Dent, I was surprised at how good looking he was. I know, like, he's good looking in
comic books.
I feel
like they kind of made Bruce look like Jensen, just slightly.
Really?
Just a little bit.
No, I don't think so.
It's like the coiffed hair. I was like,
maybe, I don't know.
And the jaw. But anyway.
Yeah, but that, I really liked Harvey Dent's story trajectory as well. I really, really am enjoying that. I'm enjoying watching his slowly crumbling relationship with his wife.
With Gilda, yeah.
It's just, it's got so much nuance.
Yeah,
and, you
there's
know,
so
you
much
get,
going on.
It's just so good. And, oh, can we just talk about Selena Kyle? Like, she is amazing.
She was amazing. I was like, so yeah, it's not really meant to be how Anne Hathaway portrayed it. It's, this is how she's meant to be. She's meant to be, you know, slyly thieving rather than...
Yeah.
You know, very obvious. Very obvious, and like, and yes, she's, you know, sexy, but she's also got heart, and
she's got heart, and she's strong, and she's this, like, from, like, I don't know, you know, she's of course, you know, really sexy and all of that stuff, but she's also very athletic, and she's toe to toe with Bruce, you know, she's not. In fact, sometimes she kind of leaves him behind.
Yeah.
And he's kind of like chasing after her because she can't do half of the stuff she can do.
I'm
sorry, why are you wearing a cape?
Yeah. You know that can drag you down, by the way.
Right?
Like, if the wind blows, that's going to, like, pull you back.
Like, I've always found that hilarious. I have always found that hilarious as to why he wears a cape.
It's just, like whip him in the face.
The most cumbersome piece of thing that you can wear.
Right.
But anyway, I digress. But, yeah, like, Selena Kyle, amazing. I really, really liked her in this.
Yeah.
And I love their little romance, you know. It's, like, Will they, won't they, kind of thing.
There was that once, there's one suit on the yacht towards the end.
Oh my goodness, yes.
And I was literally like, I almost want this to be not animated because it's just so good. Like, how is this chemistry so good? They're like internally different boots. Like, what's happening?
They were so good. I really liked them together.
Yeah.
And I really, It was fun. It was so much fun to watch.
I'm really excited to see how they do part two. Mm. So the rest of the graphic novel and, see if they make, any change to how they get to the end or if the end will be different or I don't know.
That'll be interesting to see.
Yeah.
I think if, you know, the classic stories that from the comic books can continue to be animated stories told, either through series or film.
Yeah.
I mean, release it on the big screen. I think people will watch it.
Can you imagine seeing this on...
Oh, it would be stunning. That would be
amazing.
People would watch it. Yeah. People will go and see it. Because, I mean, it's just such a great experience. And as much as I love live action, I do... I think we cannot lose the art of
the
animation, because I think that'll just be sad. Yeah,
especially stuff like this. It's just so good.
Because that's the original medium that it was created in and created for. So I think, I know we've got lots of technology now to make live action possible.
Yeah.
But I think the charm of this will never go away.
No, never.
That's Long Halloween. If you haven't watched it yet, watch it. It's awesome.
It's so good. It's
totally really good. Worth it. Yeah. Okay. So let's move on to our discussion on Loki, episode 3 and 4. Basically, overall story, what's happening is in episode 3, they're on... Because in episode 2, it ends up with him going off to Lamentus.
Mm-hmm.
He follows...
Sylvie
onto Lamentus, and which is a planet which does feature in some other comic books.
Yeah.
Stories. I'm not very familiar with it. I don't think you are either.
Not really, no.
So basically this is just because, as we know, Sylvie. Whoops. I'm thinking Sophie. I don't know why.
Sophie. Because isn't that her real name?
Her name, her real name is Sophie. But Sylvie essentially hides in Apocalypses. So he follows her there and she's hiding there. And essentially the entire episode is... Nothing really much happens in the episode as such. Yeah. Because the episode is them on Lamentus. They're trying to get off Lamentus. Yeah. But through that, we get to know both the Lokis a little bit. It's more our Loki getting to know Sylvie.
Sylvie, yeah.
But through that, we also get to know some things about our Loki.
Uh-huh.
Such as, he can sing very well.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I mean, first it's like all the jerky.
Yeah.
I'm drunk and having fun. Yeah. And then he starts singing like the slow, it's supposed to be Asgardian.
Yes.
But I don't know, I guess it's Norwegian. Norsk.
Probably, yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. Norsk. But oh my gosh, it was so good.
It was, yeah, like, it sounded really amazing.
So pretty. It sounded beautiful.
It's a beautiful language. But anyway, so the whole episode basically takes place on Lamentus. They're trying to get off it. They've lost the charge in the, what is it called? What pad? Tempad?
Yeah, Tempad.
The charge in the Tempad is gone, so they need to charge it in order for them to open a time door. I hope that's what it's called.
I hope it's called a Tempad. So sorry.
That is hilarious.
Oh, no.
Well, the charge in a Tempad.
Oh, this is ridiculous.
A tempad. Essentially, so they're trying, because without the tempad, they can't open a time door for them to leave.
But just
before the apocalypse.
Yeah.
Basically destroys the planet.
Yeah.
And so they get onto this train, which was very, it reminded me of Hunger Games.
Because they're all, like, dressed up and... And then the poor outside trying to get on the train. And I was like, oh, okay.
You had to have a ticket. It's
very much like Hunger Games.
Very Hunger Games-esque. And so the whole idea of the train. Hunger Games is kind of like Snowpiercer at the same time.
Yeah, sort of.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, yeah.
I didn't even think about that. Anyway, So they get on the train, and can I just say, the costumes of the guards of the train were so funny.
Oh my gosh, they were like so bad.
Blue anteaters.
Literally. Oh my gosh, so they ugly. Were awful.
Horrible. But anyway, so they get on the train, they're pretending to be, you know, as if they're meant to be there. Mm. And that's when they have some conversations. We get to know a little bit more of Sylvie. Essentially, she sort of talks about her experiences so far.
Yeah.
And she comes off as a very sympathetic character.
Yeah, yeah.
Because sure. So far, we've kind of just looked at her as a bit of a pest. You know, it's like, well, what does she want?
Yeah.
And she's... We'll get into more a little bit in episode 4, but we get a bit of an idea that she's not really this evil character, this evil mastermind.
That she's being made out to.
Exactly.
By the TVA.
By the TVA. And she essentially... Is it in episode 4 or is it in episode 3 where she tells him about
C-20? In episode 3, I think.
Is it in episode 3?
Yeah. That I was in her memories. Because she tries to enchant him.
Yeah, but and it doesn't work on him, obviously. Yeah.
She tells him how that she can enchant people and put memories in their minds.
Yeah.
And that's how we kind of discover that, you know. Because the episode starts with the flashback of C-20 and...
Yeah, she's in this memory where she's at a bar and it's Sylvie's there as well. It's like two girlfriends having, you know...
Yeah. Because the episode actually starts with them getting taken back to the TVA and then they happen to open the portal to Lamentis.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the majority of the episode is on Lamentis.
On Lamentis, yeah.
Which is crumbling, and, you know, things minute are falling by minute, things are falling from the sky. And basically the episode actually ends with they're trying to get back to the ship, they're trying to get the charge on the tampad, but
they basically like just starts erupting.
It starts erupting and the whole city is falling apart.
Yeah.
And then the ship also
Well, the train, the train gets damaged, well, gets destroyed. Anyway, so they're sort of sitting there, and in the trailer, everyone was thinking, you know, the purple haze with this woman sitting there.
Well, that's side of episode 4.
Yeah, but, you know, it kind of is in episode 3 as well, where they're sitting on the rock, and they're just kind of looking at the destruction, and they know that they're dying. Yeah. They're going to die. And they sort of hold, I think they hold each other's hand. Mm. And they're sort of, like, getting ready. And that creates a...
Nexus event,
which tells the TVA where they are. Mm. And so then the two dime doors open, and they're taken back to the TVA. And that's where episode 3 ends. And it's exactly where
That's where episode 4 starts. Episode 3 just ends with the ship breaking.
Oh, okay, yes.
The train breaking, and then...
Yes. It's just that we saw it together, it's like all jumbled in my head. Silly walks
away. Yeah. And then it ends there. And then episode 4 picks up as they're sitting on the rocks waiting to die. Time doors open. They get taken back to the TV.
Yeah. And so Sylvie gets taken off one side. Loki gets taken off to the other. He's offended that Sylvie has way more security than he does because he thinks he's more dangerous than Sylvie, of course.
I mean, he kind of is, but... The TVA being the TVA thinks that she is.
So in this episode, episode 4 is the crucial episode, I think. I think of this entire series so far, episode 4 is really where
everything sort of crumbles.
So there's a few things that are happening here. So essentially, they've got Loki and Sylvie. Loki manages to convince... Mobius that the TVA as it is all a lie. They're all variants, which is something we had kind of sort of not predicted but thought of. That Mobius, C-20, all of them, Hunter B-15, all of them are variants of their person from some timeline, and they're all working and they have no idea what this is. And Mobius manages to confirm that, and he does that by tricking Ravonna, and he switches tempads with her because he wants to interrogate C-20, and she says, oh no, C-20 died.
Yeah.
So anyway, all of that happens, and essentially we get a bit of a look at who the time keepers are.
Yeah.
And it turns out it's all a big fake.
Mm-hmm.
That these timekeepers are just androids. And, you know, who are these real timekeepers? It's not revealed in this.
Mm-hmm.
But essentially, two very important things happen here. B-15 is basically now against the timeline because she is, like Morbius, knows that this isn't real.
Yeah, because she sort of is going through her own head and she's like, I saw something. And she asked Sylvie to take her back to the rocks cart.
Yeah.
And she shows her, now we don't see them, but she shows her some sort of memory. And she's like, okay, I believe you.
Yeah.
And then they come back and that's when they siege on the timekeepers.
And there's a big showdown. Ravonna comes in and she basically prunes Morbius, which is the most shocking thing that happens in the episode. That is the most shocking part of this
episode, I swear.
And it's just totally, like, I didn't expect that. And she also prunes Loki towards the end. And but then we also get a mid-credit scene in this one where we see Loki sort of waking up in this destroyed, it looks like New York because there's like the Avengers York, building. Yeah. So we don't know when this destruction has been. Is it post Chitauri invasion or what? Is it possibly way more in the future? We have no idea. Could be a Thanos thing. We don't know.
Yeah.
And Loki gets up and there's four different versions of Loki around him.
Yeah.
All right. So that's basically episode 3 and 4. So let's break down some of the really interesting things that have popped out from this. So we've watched like a few videos on YouTube and like done a bit of digging ourselves. I am very, so obviously the biggest question hanging over the head of everything is, what is the TVA?
Yeah. What exactly is it? A figment of everybody's imagination? Does it not even actually exist? Or does it exist but clearly they're lying about everything that they're doing. So, who controls it? What even are the timekeepers?
Because now we know the timekeepers don't exist. Or yeah, are so they who just is an it? Android version of the real ones? I doubt it.
Yeah.
I think it's a very Wizard of Oz situation.
Yeah.
Where it's just a little old man. Well, obviously, maybe not. But, well, the
theory, Kang watches back.
Kang watches back, according to Nerdist. But I don't know. I feel like, as you said, like, everyone's talking about it, which means it's not Kang.
Which, it would still be a surprise if it's Kang if we find out that Ravonna's kind of in charge.
Yeah.
And he is sort of, you know, her sidekick at this point. And then it swaps over at some point.
What if, and this is what I was thinking, like, if everyone is a variant of themselves... What if this is also a variant of Ravonna?
Yeah, probably.
Right? Like, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Unless I haven't read the comic books, but, you know.
Yeah.
Possibly. The other thing I was thinking was, is it another Loki variant that is... This is just mischief.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know if it's a Loki variant. Like, I just don't think he'd care.
To do, like, you to know? Go into like, this much detail.
Yeah, like... Not about the detail, just about, like, why should he care about the TVA, you know, like...
And then target himself.
And then target himself.
So, a couple of things that... One of the things that I loved about episode 4... actually, let's do episode 3 first. What was, like, your favorite bit in episode 3?
I think the... Because it's very much conversation-based, I think, that episode.
Yeah.
Like, there is other stuff happening as well, but I think getting to know each Loki
variant... Separately, yeah.
By putting them in the same room together and have them having a conversation was really interesting. I just really loved their dynamic. And I just think that was the most interesting part. Of course, the song was amazing too.
Oh, yeah.
And the drunkenness was hilarious. But yeah, it was... I liked that it was a bit of a quiet moment before...
It was. We it come was back quite up, you know? Quiet on the train where they're just traveling and just chatting. And
Yeah. I really liked that. And the thing is, like, not a lot happens in episode 3.
Yeah.
Where you kind of go like, oh, you know, like, this was really, like...
Something big,
intense or, you know, whatever. But yeah, that's the main point.
I think episode 4 is obviously, like, I think even in Falcon and Winter Soldier, like, episode 4 was, like, a big one. Wasn't that the Isaiah?
The world is watching. The whole world.
That was the world is watching one. So that's a big one.
That
was
John
basically killing Nico. Yeah. So similar to that, like, this has a lot of stuff happening. I think my favorite, it's hard to say what's my favorite thing in this, but I don't know. Well, the most shocking is definitely Mobius
being gosh. That, honestly, I did not see that coming at all.
Did not see that
coming. Like, I literally didn't. Like, it didn't it even was a shock. It occur to me that he could be pruned. Like,
I honestly think he's going to be back, though. I don't think he's going to be dead.
Marvel's going to be bringing in Owen Wilson.
Just to be pruned.
Just to be pruned.
I think he's got a bigger place.
Yeah, I think so, too. Like, I can honestly see him going on to be in, like, Quantumania or something.
Mm, yeah.
You know, like,
that would be so cool. Especially if they're teasing Kang and that does come true.
Yeah.
You know?
So, I don't know.
One of the things that I was thinking, because he says to Ravonna, he says, oh, we've had Kree, Titans,
we've had Kree, Titans, and vampires, yeah.
So, you know, we've got Kree in the MCU already. We've got Titans because Thanos. And vampires, clearly it's a mention a thing of Blade.
Early mention to Blade, yeah.
To Blade. So I think that's a really interesting sort of Easter egg, I guess, in there. But I don't know. I feel like the biggest question out of everything is if these people are variants.
Yeah.
Where are they coming from?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, essentially, what is the actual sacred timeline?
Mm. Is it the wavy line? Or is it the actual red line at the top that is straight all the time? And every time they said, oh, if it reaches the red line, then we have to, like, prune everything and go back.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost like they don't want to get to that because that's the real timeline.
That's the real timeline.
Yeah.
So, if they get to that timeline, it's like, oh, we're going to be found out. Mm. So, what is this?
Yeah.
You know, I think this is really interesting. The other thing I was thinking of was, if this is a Kang thing, in Ant-Man and the Wasp, we've already seen Kang's little city thing.
Yeah.
Maybe this is there. The TVA is in that.
Yeah. It's very possible.
That's a possibility.
His city. What is it? Cosmopolis?
I can't remember what the name of it is. Yeah. But essentially, that's a possibility, too, that's where the TVA is.
Yeah.
So this is the quantum realm that they're
They're within the quantum realm.
And that would make a lot of sense.
And it's like, I don't know, Scott coming out of the quantum realm or something.
Like, if they do have a thing where this is the quantum realm, time has a different meaning.
Mm-hmm.
So if you do have,
they've already said time works different on the TVA.
Exactly. So if there is something like, say, for example, Mobius, he's in the quantum realm in this city.
Yeah.
It could be that in his lifetime, in the actual timeline, he's only been missing for, like, say, a day. But he's lived, like, an entire lifetime here.
Yeah.
And done whatever he needs to do. I don't know. That's what I'm thinking. That's possibly a thing.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of theories out there.
There's a lot. There's just so much. I never thought that Loki would get so timey-wimey.
Yes.
But, like,
didn't think it.
But I kind of like it.
I love it.
It gives a new, layer to...
I think it's great. I think
to the Loki story.
Yeah, it gives a good layer to the Loki story. I really like the fact that we are at this point where we have no idea what things are going to be.
Yeah, I literally don't know what's going
to
go on.
Like, honestly, if I was to be very... Like, we love Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Love it. But can I be honest and say, I think Loki's not finished yet, so I can't judge it. I think so far, WandaVision has been the best.
Yeah. WandaVision was really good.
Because honestly, like, I can pick out faults in Falcon and the Winter Soldier. There's a few things that I wasn't now, and obviously we haven't done a sit down rewatch yet.
Yeah.
Which we need to do.
We need to do, yeah.
Also for WandaVision. Mm. But I feel like Wanda was just so perfect. There was, like, everything in there. I can't pick out one single thing that was like, oh, that wasn't that great. Yeah. Or, you know, this could be that. And I'm just like, Loki, I wouldn't say it's perfect.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it is either.
But I think Loki's shaping up to be a really, really, really good show.
Yeah.
I did not honestly think I would like Loki as much as I'm liking it.
Yeah, same. I think the reason we love Falcon and Winter Soldier so much is because we love them so much.
You know, we're Cap people.
We're Team Cap. Always will be. And it is a great story, and they did a great job.
Oh, it's great.
Like, you know, they answered questions that we have always had, and we didn't think that they would ever bring up. And I'm very glad that they did, like with Isaiah and everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, like in terms of really getting into shaping the next part of the MCU.
Oh, yes. Wanda did a great job. And I think Loki's going to do a good job of it as well. Yeah. I think the main, like, the way that you could say it is, my favorite is Falcon and Winter Soldier, but the best is WandaVision.
Yeah.
You know, if like, we put it that way. However, once Armor Wars comes in, then Falcon and Winter Soldier fits in a bit better. Will make
sense, yeah.
Because I think so far, we've had very sort of, you know, out there storylines that have been addressed in Loki and Wanda, not so much in Falcon and Winter Soldier, very real world stuff. Yeah.
And that's, I mean, that's what I love.
Yeah.
But I think once Armor Wars starts,
it'll be then very interesting to see how it connects.
Being made. So, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, there's a lot there. What did you think of the whole romance angle between Loki and Sylvie?
I like it too. I don't understand why people are so like,
why are people upset about it?
So, it's the whole thing of like, it's basically himself but a variant, and people are very like,
but that's so fitting with the character of
exactly.
Loki.
That's very fitting with the character of Loki. It's very fitting with you know, tropes in pop culture and fan fiction. It's, you know, of the narcissistic being falling in love with someone who's similar to them. This is basically the same thing. Yeah, it just happens to be a variant.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't get what people are so...
I really like it.
It fits him. It fits her. And,
because who... Let's think about it. Who
else? No one else is going to fit with him.
They're so, like...
Yeah.
Apart from everyone else, the only person who's ever going to love you for yourself is yourself.
Yeah.
You know, like, they're that different.
Yeah.
Before we move on, the bit that I think I forgot to mention is when there's a flashback in this episode, which shows the first time Sylvie gets
taken. Oh, my gosh, when she gets taken to...
By the TVA. Yeah. And at this point, Ravonna is a hunter. She's not a judge.
Yeah, she's A23.
And Sylvie's a child.
Yeah.
She's probably, like, what, 12?
Yeah, because that actress is on, the little girl, she's on, she was in Star Wars as Little Rey, and she's also Judith in The Walking Dead.
Oh, okay.
So I think she's like 12 or 13.
Well, we get to see Asgard, which was nice, lovely shot.
I was
of
like,
Asgard.
As soon as it started coming up, I was like, oh my god, are we in Asgard? Oh my god, are we in Asgard? I was just like, ah! Oh my god.
But yeah, so she gets taken, Ravonna comes, and essentially one of the scenes where Ravonna's taking both Loki and Sylvie to see the timekeepers. Sylvie asks Ravonna, she goes, well, why did you take me? And she says, I don't even remember. And that's just so insulting. It's like, you've ruined this child's life.
Yeah.
You don't even, like, is that that pity? But it makes me think, like, the expression that Ravonna has on her face, I feel like she's just saying that to hurt her.
Yeah.
So the other question is, question one is, who are the TVA? Question two, who's running the TVA? Like, what's happening with the process and all of that?
Yeah.
Number three is, why are they after Sylvie?
Yeah.
And the Lokis.
Yeah.
Right? I think it's not got anything to do with the Loki. I think it's to do with Sylvie.
Yeah.
Which tells me, it could be two things. Now, I don't know this, but has Tom Hiddleston been confirmed for Love and Thunder? Is he doing that?
I don't know. We don't really actually know, like, what's going on there.
So that's
because they finished filming.
Mm.
But I don't know if Tom was here.
See, that's going to be interesting because
they've kept that pretty under wraps whether he is.
I'm just thinking, if he's not in that, I have a feeling he's going to die in this. Because, no, think about this. I know I hate this, but think about it. At the start, Ravonna says everything that happened was meant to be.
Was meant to happen.
Was meant to happen. You escaping was not. That means his death was meant to happen.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, if, you know, they're leading up to this love angle, perhaps he will sacrifice his life for Sylvie. And so Sylvie is going to be an interesting character moving forward.
Yeah, maybe.
I have a feeling they're setting her up.
True, because I don't understand. Because he's dead in the infinity. Let's call it the infinity timeline.
Yeah.
I'm just making stuff up. Infinity timeline.
We're naming our own timelines.
In Infinity Saga, he dies at the end, right? Yeah. In Infinity War, he dies at the start. Mm. So when this show was announced, when Loki was announced, everybody was like, wait, what? So, you know, when it was fully established that, yes, it'll be the Loki that disappears with the Tesseract, that's going to be the show where he ends up, you know, getting in trouble. Now, all of this character development happened movie to movie.
Yeah.
And, you know, his death in Infinity War was tragic and redeeming and everything all at the same time. So, it wouldn't make sense for him to now be alive and then also then go back to that timeline and then, you know, join up to wherever it is and then continue on. Like, it just wouldn't make sense, right? So, I guess, yeah, he has to die because he's getting this redemption sort of in these episodes where he is realizing, you know, what his worth is and, you know, having a crash course in his mind.
Yeah.
For Mobius, pretty much every episode.
Pretty much,
constantly questioning, why are you like this? And he pretty much always comes up with an answer.
I think one of the things is to see Loki as... Because honestly, I feel like WandaVision seemed to be a bit planned.
Yeah.
I feel like even Falcon and Winter Soldier, because there's a lot of story to tell there.
Yeah.
But I think with Loki, it's purely because there was such a big fan demand, because he was such a fan favorite. And also, I think Loki is being used to set up so much more. Obviously, all of them are being used to set up, because that's Marvel. They always do that. But I feel like Loki's predominant job is to set up everything.
Yeah.
I don't think Tom Hiddleston is doing this anymore after this.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Unless it's confirmed and we don't know about this. That'll be interesting to see.
Maybe a flashback or something.
Maybe cameos here and there, but I doubt he's going to play Loki any longer. He's been playing it for, like, more than 10 years now.
Yeah. And, like, think about it. Like, Thor Love and Thunder is the only movie that is a fourth.
Yeah.
You know, only,
But that's only because Taika Waititi came in.
Yeah.
And then now he's doing another one, so...
But that's the thing, like, it has to be Chris, but it doesn't necessarily have to be Tom.
No, it doesn't. So, yeah, it doesn't.
Yeah. As much as that kills me!
It does. I mean, I love Tom Hiddleston, but, you know, at the end of the day, I think... Like, you know, when everyone's like, oh, Chris Evans is leaving as Cap and RDJ is leaving as Iron Man, this is sad. But how long can these actors keep playing the same characters? Like, they want to do other stuff as well, I'm sure. Yeah. You know?
And, like, it's not that thing of, like, oh, you know, between all the Marvel movies, they go off and do movies on their own and stuff. It's that thing of, like, let's finish off this chapter and actually continue on with something else.
Because it's so rigidly tied to contracts and all of this stuff.
You happen to just do a movie in between Marvel movies. You just happen to get lucky with scheduling. Yeah. But now it's kind of like you're in charge of your own destiny.
Yeah,
really.
You can do what you want.
So you can do whatever you want. But, yeah, like...
And because I know this, I remember they were talking about this, because obviously under Marvel, they're technically under Disney contract.
Yeah.
If you're a Disney contracted actor, you have very tight restrictions on your personal life as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's certain things you can't post and there's certain things you can't do and, you know, all of this stuff because you're a Disney star, essentially. And it's just, it's restricting. And I'm sure, like, after 10 years, 12 years, you're going to be like, I think I'm done. Like, you know.
Literally.
So I don't blame people or be, like, upset that, oh, yeah, I want to do something else. By all means, we'd love to see you in other stuff, you know?
Because all of your movies get better after you leave Marvel, guys.
That's true.
Like,
that's
it literally happened with Chris Evans. I was like, True. Wow, he's done, like, not counting Snowpiercer, which was during Marvel time. That is a great movie. Mm. But his movies just got better after.
I love Gifted.
Yeah.
Was that after?
No, that was before.
That was before.
Which one? That was during it.
Oh, well, like, Knives Out.
Hello, yeah, Knives Out.
Yes.
And he did Defending Jacob, which is not a movie, but a series. Yes. And we're going to get The Grey.
Yes.
With Ryan Gosling.
That's going to be great.
Which is going to be great. And yeah, there's just a bunch of stuff going on.
I think, yeah, I think it's good. I think it's good for them to diversify and do other stuff.
I mean, we can't all be Sebastian Stan, who is a chameleon in every single way. That's true.
I mean, let's just say he's going to be Tommy.
He's going to be Tommy.
Like, Tommy and Pam. He's going to be
Tommy Lee.
Like, what?
Like, what? I don't even know if we've talked about this
on
this
yet. No, I don't think we have.
But, yeah, like,
that's shocking.
But, no, but seriously, this is such a tangent, but...
I know.
All his movies are great.
Yeah.
All his movies have been good.
They're very different.
They're excellent.
They're very different. They're so different. Like, he does different movies. Yeah.
I love that post where it's, like, him as, Bucky, him as Jeff in I, Tonya, Chris in Destroyer, and then I think there's another photo, and it's like, Sebastian Stan will always understand the assignment. Because he's just he's all the same actor, but it's just four different people. He's so good.
Yeah.
Oh, he's amazing. But yeah.
Anyway. So, well, that was episode 3 and 4 of Loki. There's a lot to unpack in terms of, like, well, not yet, I guess. We've unpacked what we could so far.
Yeah, like...
But there's a lot to come. We've got 2 more episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be weird. Because I don't know how much of a gap we have now from another show, or do we just go now...
I don't know.
Do we now just go straight into,
Well, essentially, this will end next week. Loki will end next week.
Yeah.
This week is episode 5.
Yeah.
And then episode 6. We've got one,
Black Widow
coming out on Friday this week.
Yeah.
Well, the next one's Shang-Chi then.
Yeah.
Well, they haven't announced any shows yet.
No, I don't think it has anything between Loki and Shang-Chi.
So we've got a bit of a break, I think. And I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, that's all right.
Because Shang-Chi needs...
It needs to be on its own. I actually kind of don't like that Shang-Chi and Eternals are coming out 2 months within each other.
Yeah.
But, I mean, can't really change that.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I'm just happy Black Widow's coming out.
I'm just happy that we're finally getting to see Black Widow. So,
oh my gosh. But yeah, so our next episode's gonna be Black Widow and episode 5 of Loki.
Yeah.
We're going to focus a lot more on Black Widow.
Yeah.
Of course, so...
Yeah, there's going to be a lot to go through, I think.
There's a lot, I'm so nervous.
I'm really nervous about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, well, thank you for having patience with us and our bit of irregular posting. We're going to get better.
Yes.
We're going to get better. We're going to... make sure we're back on schedule.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, please subscribe and share and do all the things that you need to do and leave us a review on your podcast provider, whoever you listen on, Apple or Google or any of the other ones. And contact us on our socials, send us a DM or just a comment.
Just hit us up in any way you see fit.
Exactly. We'd love to hear from you guys.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, I hope wherever you all are, you stay safe.
Yep. And we shall see you.
Talk.
Oh my god, why do we always do this? I look with my eyes and I talk with my lips. So we will talk to you
next time. Bye guys.
Bye.